Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Many years ago, when Relen was on the faculty of Gallaudet University, she used to teach a course on the Bible as literature. I know from personal experience of watching some folks who start to take Bible lessons at undergraduate colleges and seminaries, particularly if they come from a more evangelical, more literalist religious background, find themselves very threatened when people start to talk about the Bible as literature. To sort of lump the Bible, a sacred book, along with the works of Shakespeare or Chaucer or Dickens, or any great work of literature, if you like. But the fact is, the Bible is literature. Even the word itself, Bible, means a book of books. And many of those books take the form of literature. Sacred literature to be lit, sure, but literature nonetheless. Because if you look at the Bible closely, the Bible is comprised of poems. There's historical narratives. There are legends, sagas. We often refer to the, scholars will refer to the Abrahamic saga. That whole story of Abraham is actually a saga. There are letters. There are laws. And much, much more. All wrapped up in the fabric of story, the Bible story, the Bible as sacred story. Over the years, I've liked to think of the New Testament, especially the Gospels, as sacred story in the form of remembrances of Jesus, listening to the remembrances of Jesus. You may recall that last Sunday, I suggested that our own story can never be complete unless it includes the stories of other people, people who have been part of our story or are part of our story. So the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are stories of Jesus seen through the lens of the Gospel writers themselves. The disciples telling their own stories through their encounters with Jesus and his conversations with them. If you take a look at the lectionary readings for the Sundays throughout Lent, you will find that each of the Sundays in Lent recount a part of the story of Jesus, and they do so in the form of a dialogue, a conversation. Thus, we find that this Sunday, the story of the temptation in the wilderness, involves a dialogue between Jesus and Satan as to who determines Jesus' actions, God or Satan. The gospel lesson on the second Sunday in Lent is that confusing dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus over the perplexing matter of being born again or whether we've been born from above. And the dialogues continue on the third Sunday in Lent when Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at the well, whose longing, it seems, in her life is for that which is real. And on the fourth Sunday of Lent, we have the story of a man blind from birth who has his sight restored by Jesus, but which draws the Pharisees into another conversation, a dialogue about the true identity of Jesus. And finally, on the Sunday before Palm Sunday, we hear the wonderful story of the raising of Lazarus and a conversation about death and resurrection. My point is that what is true of the Gospels, what is true in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is true for us also. Somewhere in Scripture, somewhere in the Bible, if we care to look, is our story. Each of us in conversation with God in Christ. One of the things that I said at Adult Forum, I sort of popped onto the table as we finished Adult Forum, was to say to the group, your homework for this week is to look into Scriptures and see if you can find your story. And one of the stories that I always find I'm connected with in the New Testament is that wonderful story in the Gospels about Jesus' healing of the woman with an issue of blood. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous story. But that's been a seminal story in my understanding of who God is and who Jesus is. That's how stories can be, how we can take a story from Scripture and make that part of our lives. The gospel stories, in one way or another, parallel our own story of faith. Because let's be honest, if we take these Sunday gospels through Lent, which of us has not faced temptation in one form or another? I can remember when I was a boy, we had three bedrooms, right? And of course, being the youngest and the only son, my sisters always got the big room and I got the little room. The tiny little box room. Now, these are the days when we didn't have refrigerators in England. You know, that wasn't just, that they weren't invented until about 1970, you know. And so every Christmas, my mother would start baking round about the second week in December, and she would start baking all these lemon tarts and lemon curds and mince tarts and so on, and she would put them on this big shelf that was behind my bed. Right, because the bedroom was the cold. You know, we didn't have any central heating, so it was cold, you know. In the winter, it was cold. First thing you did on a morning to see what the weather was like is you took the ice off the inside of the windows, right? That's how we got to know how to get our pajamas on in 30 seconds flat, right? And so she would put all these cakes on this shelf behind my bed. Well, talk about temptation. I'd wake up around about, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and feeling a bit peckish, would just sort of reach over. And then, of course, the next day, when my mother put some more in there, she'd be saying, you know, I'm sure I had two dozen there. We've all faced temptation in our lives in one form or another. Or, probably more to the point, how often have we tempted God in one form or another? And let's be honest, how many of us have been like Nicodemus, confused over matters of religion or faith? And is it not true that all of us, in one form or another, have a longing for that which is real, that which is tangible in our journey of faith, but sometimes we're not quite able to grasp it? And how many of us have worried and wrestled with this whole notion of who Jesus is? Libraries are full of books trying to address the question of who is Jesus? And what does Jesus do? And what did Jesus do for us or does for us? And I have to confess, when it comes to funerals, or as I preached on Ash Wednesday, when I crossed that biblical rubric, that biblical mark, that text in Scripture where we reach that 70 years, it really has a way of making you focus on mortality, our own mortality. And those of us who might have lost loved ones or been involved in funerals, invariably our minds turn to questions about death and resurrection. All of these issues will be addressed on the Sundays in Lent, and each one of them a part of our own story. Each one of them parallels our story of faith. The Bible story is God's story. It's God's story writ large, especially in the seasons of Lent. So here we are on this first Sunday of Lent and the temptation in the wilderness. The first Sunday in Lent always starts with the temptation, the story of the temptation in the wilderness. And it's obvious why. Well, I think it's obvious why. Lent is about temptation. Lent is about looking at our lives. And in this story of the temptation in the wilderness, it takes the form of a dialogue between Jesus and Satan. Now, remember, we talked about thin places last Sunday. The wilderness is a thin place. It's an alien place. It's a place where demons abide, but it's also a place where the boundary between heaven and earth is very thin. If you read back into church history, the first Christians, didn't take them long before they started to go out into the desert. The desert of Egypt, northern Egypt, is where the first monastic communities began to be formed. Because the desert was seen as that thin place, that place where there was nothing to stand between you and God. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness. Jesus was sent into the wilderness after his baptism. And it's in the wilderness that we are tested. In the gospel story, Jesus is tested by the devil. Or more precisely, the devil tempts Jesus to tempt God. After a time of fasting, Jesus is hungry. So Satan challenges Jesus and says that if you are the Son of God and you are hungry, then you can just turn these stones into bread. If you find yourself in a perilous place, such as the pinnacle of the temple, then if you are the Son of God, why don't you just throw yourself off and God will provide angels to support you? And if you are the Son of God, even if you are the Son of God, why don't you follow me instead? And I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Behind each of these temptations is whether or not Jesus will allow himself to be guided by the devil or by God. If Jesus decides to be guided by Satan, then making bread out of rock for the hungry, whilst it might be a good thing, only really serves Jesus' ego and Satan's ends. And as for testing God by throwing oneself off a high building, well, there's another way you could look at that. How often do we treat God like an emergency dial-up service? Are you there? I got a problem. How often do we treat God as a dial-up service, a servant at human bidding? That's the point the devil was making to Jesus. Someone we go to for our own safety. And that's fine. That's fine. But there's more to it than that. And although Satan may think he owns all the empires of the world, just think about it. Who created the world? In reality, all the empires are part of God's creation. So in each of these temptations, Satan is testing Jesus to do the things that meet his own ends. Which is why Jesus will not succumb to the temptations, but rather remain obedient to God. The reason The reason the temptation in the wilderness is such an important story to open the season of Lent is because Lent to us should be that thin place, that wilderness place, that alien place. A place where we are supposed to be tested, to ask ourselves whether or not we are being pulled by Satan and the kingdoms of the world, or whether we're being pulled by God. During the season of Lent, we are brought face to face with the fact that the temptations Jesus faced, we also face. Bread, food, safety, the kingdoms of the world. These are real things. Things that we seek, sometimes desire, sometimes are tempted by them. But more than anything, I think, the story of the temptation in the wilderness is meant to remind us that the overarching theme of the Gospels is obedience. Jesus' obedience to God. Jesus' obedience to God's will. Nowhere will you find in the Gospels Jesus doing what Jesus wants. It's one of the hardest lessons to learn for those of us going into holy orders, to be told it isn't your order. It isn't your call. It's God's. And it begins with obedience. Obedience to God's will as defined by the church and as defined by Jesus. And that theme runs throughout the Gospels. Jesus' obedience to God even in the face of Jesus' own peril. When tempted in the wilderness, Jesus obeyed the will of God. And throughout the gospel stories, Jesus obeys the will of God in humility, in service, and ultimately in suffering. These are Lenten themes. Lenten themes that we are invited to explore. And if we will, embrace. But really to pause and explore them. To explore them as best we can throughout the season of Lent. But it seems to me there's something else that runs throughout all these gospel stories, but particularly through the temptation in the wilderness, and that's the theme of trust. Do we trust God to be God? Do we trust Jesus to be Jesus? Lent, for me, increasingly, is trying to embrace that sense of trust in God. That somehow God in Christ is involved intimately in my story. Which is why the stories in Scripture become so important. Because they are human stories. Our stories. God in Christ in conversation with each and every one of us. I don't think it's happenstance that all the gospel readings for Lent involve a conversation, a dialogue, a divine conversation. Because I think God is in divine conversation with each and every one of us as we write our own story of faith. The challenge of Lent, I think, for all of us, is having the will and the ability and the desire to stop, slow down, and join that conversation. I hope you're having a happy Lent. Amen.